Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show. This is the Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. I'm your host, pop art painter Jamie Rocks, and this is the big show. You found it. I sure am glad you did. I am very, very excited for today's episode. We have a fantastic guest, returning guest, and he's got a really cool new film out that I watched this the other night. Now, just to preface this a little bit, ladies and gentlemen, you have to understand, anybody who's looked at my website or any of my social media, everybody knows I've got some native in me. I'm Native American, and when I saw in the press kit, whenever any of us see the term Wendigo, ooh, we get excited. we're like, finally a horror movie for us. Something to really. No, I'm kidding, kind of. Don't even get me going on the Billy Jack movies. Anyway. Back to this movie. I would like to welcome, without further ado, director and writer, all-around cool guy, Mr. Bruce Wimple, and his new movie is The Retreat. Bruce, how are you, my friend?
Good. How's it going? Thanks for inviting me back.
Yeah, of course, man. Anytime. One of my favorite people. I got to tell you, we were talking a little bit before we, as they say in the podcasting business, ladies and gentlemen, we were talking off mic. No, we're just catching up a little bit, and we were talking a little bit about Bruce's new film. Bruce, this film, I'm looking at my notes right here. Is it? It's out now. Yes, 2 days ago, right? It dropped.
Yeah, Tuesday it came out.
Nice. That is awesome. Another book.
Yeah,
this is
exciting.
The second one this year, right?
Yeah, no, it's been a busy year in terms of releases, but this one we actually shot this year, the winter 2019 to 2020. So, whereas Monster
shot
the year before, and, yeah, right before the lockdown, we wrapped up this film completely in early March, honestly. So we were just on the end of it with post production and everything like that. So. Before
well, you know what
we had to stay inside.
You know, with the good thing about the lockdown is the universe said, well, we can't have Bruce going to all these Hollywood movie parties and stuff and doing all that kind of stuff, taking meetings and, you know, all of this kind of stuff. He needs to edit. So.
Yeah, right.
Shut the world down, everybody. Bruce has got to work.
Yeah, definitely didn't have many distractions. That's definitely for sure.
Oh, man. Well, you know, it's a cool thing you had it out, though, that it was finished. I tell you the other great thing is, and I was just talking about this on last night or yesterday's show. I was talking to some other filmmakers, and we were talking about, you know, one of the silver linings with all of this, and I'm not making light of any of the tragic stuff that a lot of people have died, but one of the great things to come from this is everybody knows how streaming works. Everybody can navigate that Roku pretty well now, you know, and I think that's great for independent film because it gets out, people can watch it. So that's awesome, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I think, I think it was, things were already going a little bit in that direction before COVID, but, you know, I think hopefully COVID isn't the nail in the coffin for movie theaters. I hope they come back strong and, you know, you're still able to go to movie theater and see these movies that deserve to be seen there. But definitely agree for us and for, you know, these, you know, low budget indie movies that, you know, are telling slightly different stories. Streaming.
Absolutely.
It's been super helpful for us and has been a great way for audiences to connect with these things.
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's interesting. I get these listings. You know, over the years, I've bought and sold some weird, let me put it this way. I like interesting real estate deals. single family house in the suburbs bores me to tears, although there's usually more money in it. But I get these lists emailed to me, and about, a year and a half ago, for some reason, there were all these old movie theaters, like drive-in movie theaters on these lists, like cheap, you know?
And interesting.
Now they're not so much. The price is like doubled and tripled. I'm like, somebody's looking ahead. It's crazy world. So this is an interesting take on the Native American legend, the Wendigo. I believe that's an Iroquois legend. I think a lot of tribes have a version of it. You went the Bigfoot route in the last movie, Monstrous. Was the Wendigo scratching at the door? How did this come about? And you did a very cool take on the Wendigo, I want to say.
I appreciate that. Thank you. We did Monstrous, and I already kind of had the Wendigo in the back of my mind. And I think I remember as we were developing Monstrous, I was thinking about, like, is there a way to include the Wendigo in this story? And obviously, if you've seen the movie, that was never going to happen. But it was something that was kind of, you know, in the back of my head that I was kind of, like, thinking, how could I incorporate this into a movie? Or how would this play out as its own movie? And then so obviously we went the latter direction, and we just started developing, researching, and figuring out, okay, the Wendigo luckily has a lot of different mythology behind it. You know, there's alternate versions.
Mm-hmm.
Like any cryptid, you know, people have their own stories about what it does, how it, you know, how it operates, what the actual mythology is. So with that, I kind of love the fact that we were able to maybe slightly more flexible in our take and how we wanted to treat it. And beyond that, I think my favorite part of it was that it wasn't strictly a creature feature, but the Wendigo still was driving the entire story because there's such a psychological,
right,
haunting, supernatural element to it, to the Wendigo, that I think that would excite me the most. That excited me even before we had fully developed the project or even had started doing it. It was just that we would kind of get to do both. We would kind of get to have a creature in it, to have this monster, but at the same time, really, really explore the psychological horror aspect.
Well, and explore it does, man. I'm telling you, no, I don't want to give anything away, ladies and gentlemen, because I want you to watch this film because it's one of the better ones I've seen this year. If not, you know, right up there at the top. And believe me, I watch a lot of movies. the thing is, with this that I really liked, now, and I'll, let me just be totally honest and transparent with everybody. I have friends that I would consider horror friends. You know, they're the ones that'll tell you that spleen didn't explode the right way. And you're like, how do you know that? You know, but I've always been a little bit more of a psychological horror fan, you know, personally. But I like a good scary movie too, and so I sat down to watch this, ladies and gentlemen. And man, the soundtrack on this is amazing, and it just, you know, the movie starts going, and it just starts creeping you out, the tension, the mood, and everything. And then I guess Bruce is like, okay, well, I've got him hook, line, and sinker. Now let's throw in the twists. And whoa, were there twists? And it was just fantastic. I loved it. I loved it. I loved it. And I like a movie like that that kind of, you know, rattles your brain around a little bit. Very well done, sir. Very well done.
Thank you. I appreciate all that. Yeah. And that was kind of the idea with the whole thing was, it has the beginning, the first act or so, is very simple. It's a simple premise. There's nothing too hard to wrap your head around in terms of, it's two best friends going on this backpacking trip. And that part, we spent a lot of time making sure that, you know, there was some authenticity to their trip. And we actually did go into the high peaks, and we were hiking and doing everything just to really get the audience settled in to this, the location, the isolation, and just the technical aspects of it. So there, they didn't feel like any of it was fake or nothing like that took them out. And then I think the idea was once we established that level of realism, we could get a little crazier. And then, as you mentioned, the movie steadily gets more and more crazy with its twists and its, it just in the events that go down, I guess, without giving spoilers.
No, it's amazing. And the psychological, supernatural psychological mix with supernatural as well. And it was just so well done, you know, just so well done. And I really, really enjoyed the ride I went on with this. It was just fantastic. Now I want to say something too, because I don't want my my horror friends to go, oh, well, if it's no, man, this movie gets you like a traditional horror movie at first, and it draws you in. And then I also want to throw this in. It was all practical effects, wasn't it? The creature and everything.
Yeah. There's a bit of psychedelics that go down in there, and then obviously that's a little bit of a visual effect, but that's not pretending to be practical. That's clearly what it's supposed to be with, you know,
right,
kind of that twisting kind of visuals that you kind of get when you, you know, do psychedelics, I guess. And but beyond that, yeah, everything else that
so we've
practical.
Heard.
Yeah, that's so I've heard from friends that
we wouldn't know any of that about any of that, ladies and gentlemen.
No.
Don't ever do that and stay in school. Study hard and, you know.
Yeah, or this is a cautionary tale. You can watch this and learn what could happen, you know?
That's right. Out there in the... Man, this film... No, you guys filmed this in the winter. No, this was filmed in upstate New York, so, I mean, and I've been there a couple times. It gets cold, 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 and it came through in the shots of this film on the icing part, you know? Whoa! How long were you guys out there filming?
I think the initial, the principal photography was 20 days or so, right around there. But obviously, the whole thing doesn't take place out in the woods. But I really did want to get them actually up and us climbing in these high peaks, which they are technical climbs and they're not easy to do. And so I wanted us to get out and get up there, and so I actually scheduled for our first day of shooting. I decided let's actually do Cascade Mountain, and that's one of the high peaks. That's right in the mountain range where the whole movie takes place and everything. I'm like, let's start actually doing this hike. We'll take the cameras up. It was, you know, a micro crew. It was me, the AC Ryan, and just one other guy, Joe, just carrying the gear up there. And we actually had my dad with us because my dad is an avid climber, has done the whole 46 and everything. Mm-hmm. So he kind of guided us up there, which is great. And then plus the two main characters, Gus and Adam, Brant Schumacher and Dylan Grun. And I was like, you guys got to get ready for it because, you know, it's January. We're about to, you know, hike. It's not going to be easy. We're leaving at like 6 in the morning and we're going to get to the top and we're going to get all the footage we can from that. But it just... doing that on the first day, A, they had the most energy, so we were able to do it. But then every scene after that, whether we were filming in a different part of the forest or we were filming whatever the pickups we were doing, they had a full appreciation of what it takes and the attitude and the you know, the experience that they can bring into the performances later in the shoot.
Right. Right. Well, and that's rough country, man. That is, you're right. You are absolutely right. You got to know what you're doing. A lot of people get into bad situations because they'll watch something on, you know, TV on Discovery Channel, Nat Geo or something. And go, that looks cool.
Yeah.
I can do that. And they just go out there with no, like you said, no preparation and get into a situation.
Yeah, and that's something we try to read a lot about, like what happens when people do get lost and when they find them, how do they find them and what usually are the mistakes that they make that gets them in those kinds of situations. So we try to use that in the story and just make sure that like it's not complicated. It's a couple wrong turns and you just kind of get disoriented, and if you don't have the right gear, you could end up at, even if you end up in a 10-mile stretch, it's still tough to get out, especially in that kind of weather. So
oh,
we
yeah.
we definitely try to
oh,
use
yeah.
that Yeah.
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
This is a message from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Older adults and people of any age who have serious underlying medical conditions are at higher risk for severe illness from COVID-19. If you are at higher risk, you should stay home as much as possible and avoid close contact with people who are sick to protect yourself. Call your doctor if you have concerns about COVID-19 and your medical condition, or if you get sick. For more information, visit cdc.gov.
Metal Babe Mayhem is super excited about their newest venture with MBM Music LLC. With MBM Music, we'll provide artists with a full-service platform to be seen and heard by assisting with necessary products, services, and fashion, all in an effort to increase exposure, fan base, and income. For more information, visit us at mbmmusicllc.com. That's mbmmusicllc.com. You create, we promote, plug in to the network.
Glittering amethyst, energizing citrine, colorful fluorite, the other side of the sun, Earth's treasures brought to light. Since 1999, we have offered a unique collection of hand-selected minerals and gems for every budget, for novices, collectors, and healers. Visit www.tosots.com. to view our wide selection of offerings and use coupon code ROCKS, that's ROXX, for 10% off your first order. Remember, TOSOTS.com, Earth's treasures brought to light.
Hi folks, Jamie Rocks here. Hey, if you're a big fan of cool historical books, like me, then you're going to want to check out our newest show sponsor, Michelle Albion, a fantastic author. She's got some really interesting, cool books out that you're going to want to check out. I'm a big fan of all of these. The Florida Life of Thomas Edison, The Quotable Edison, Quotable Henry Ford, Quotable Eleanor Roosevelt, and of course, The Quotable Amelia Earhart. Michelle's just very keen and very, very cool, and these are just very cool books. So check out her website. There's links to where you can pick these up on Amazon and Barnes & Noble all over the place. MichelleAlbion.com. 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 Very, very cool stuff. Check it out, folks.
And that was kind of the way we decided, yeah, the first, you know, 20 to 30 minutes. We wanted to kind of focus on this being kind of a backpacking story that felt real, felt like a guy, you know, you've seen that story before, but a guy gets stranded on his own after, you know, making some mistakes or a backpacking incident. So we kind of want to use that template to set ourselves up so the audience knows the stakes and knows exactly what could happen at that point based on just ideas of seeing other movies and this feeling real enough that, you know, you buy into where they are and the suffering.
Absolutely. And then things happen. And then things happen as they do, man, as they do.
I'm describing is the first 20 minutes of the movie. So then things, things escalate from there, yeah.
Oh, man. Well, my horror friends are going to love it because they're always going on and on about practical effects and all this and that. And, you know, and I'm like, well, here you go, man. What a cool creature. That's amazing. Did it take a long time to get that camera ready and whatnot for the actor to, get in gear and everything?
We had two things that at work play there, because there's the actual creature, which these more humanoid sort of runs on all fours, and they're supposed to be, you know, what humans can become should they become a Wendigo. And then besides that, there is this type of spirit, like a haunting Grim Reaper type presence that would only kind of be seen in the distance and a couple times closer, but really it was that what was driving most of the story was that antlered spirit that, you know, was supposed to be, you know, is it in our character's head or is it real? And either way, he's being haunted. And so both of those, we had to kind of get those ready together and in parallel. So we figured that out. What was funny about the creature, that was actually the hardest costume to do. A company called Immortal Masks in LA helped us out with that. That body design, which I love, that I think is incredible with the ribs and everything.
And oh, yeah.
The plan was a certain actor was going to wear it, and then we were just on set, and he was moving around in it, and I was just kind of got worried. I'm just like, I think we need someone bigger in it, because there was just this costume was just so big and heavy. So our sound guy, I ended up convincing him if he wanted to jump in the suit. And once he jumped in the suit and he got this rundown and at that point, it's in the movie, it's in the trailer, I think, there's a run where our main character falls over and right behind him, the creature's running on all fours. And that was one of the first shots we did with the creature. And as soon as he did that, we're like, okay, well, you're not getting out of the suit unless you're doing sound for the rest of the shoot. So it was great.
He was possessed by the Wendigo.
He was. And it sucked, too, because the makeup artist had to literally put silicone and silicone him into the suit. So once and that takes about an hour. So once he's in there, he can't really get out. So, and that includes the headpiece, everything. So one of the days I think he was in that suit drinking from a straw and getting food stuffed through there for I think about 8 hours, which was rough for him.
Oh man.
Because there's like two little eye holes. I think at one point he got a little motion sickness because of how little visibility you have out of that. So, you know, props to him. It was impressive.
Well, that's awesome, man. Well, it certainly came through. You know, I just love this film. And it's, you know, and yeah, it's the time of year and whatnot for, but really, I mean, it's just well done, you know. I really liked Monstrous a lot too, if you remember. And this one just even more so. They're both great films, but man, I really, really dug this one.
Thank you.
So
it was such a good time.
I can imagine.
Go on.
I can imagine. I've never made a movie or anything. I've been on a couple sets here and there, you know, for drama stuff or whatever. It wasn't anything fun. There wasn't anybody getting silicone sealed into a suit, you know.
It's funny because, you would think on paper this would be, you know, the hardest shoot, which it was. But, you know, in terms of we're hiking into the middle of nowhere and we're in these conditions and everything like that, being prepared and the entire cast and crew also being prepared and so gung-ho to do whatever it takes to do this and, like, kind of even testing ourselves out there, it ended up being, you know, one of the most rewarding shoots I've ever done just because of how difficult it actually was.
That's awesome. That is so cool. Well, this is what you need to be doing, you know. I mean, it's obvious. This is your forte, making movies, you know. And I think that's cool, man. I think that's cool. Let me ask you this. Now, I know we're pushing the film here, and we're focusing on the retreat and, you know, getting the word out and everything. But I have to ask, Bruce, because you're so good at this, are the gears turning for the next film already?
A little bit, yeah. I think there's another down the line one I can't really talk about, but it's another creature feature. And then beyond that, that's honestly almost done. I wish I could talk to you about it because you'd have a great time, but beyond that, I kind of want to see, you know, that kind of psychological thriller, psychological horror stuff, that's part of the stuff that you saw in the retreat, but even more so, you know, the messing with time and the that kind of part. I'm definitely a little more interested in doing a deep dive on that for the next project. I think that's definitely from this, and if you go backwards before Montrose in my work, you definitely would see that, yeah, the messing with time, especially our perception of time and stuff like that, is definitely something that I'm really excited to do a full deep dive back into and you know, take those kind of ideas and put them on screen.
No, that's amazing. That's amazing. Yeah, people get messed up when their temporal rhythms are messed with. I was just reading a book about that in the 60s, some of the interrogations during the Cold War that they would do. And, they have a guy in a cell and, days would pass. But really, they were just turning the lights on every, like, half hour. Afternoon had passed. But this guy thought that, you know, months had went by and whatnot. And just from the light, and
people in the hospital, hospital that aren't in a room with a window and have the slightest amount of drugs in them, that very quickly they find that a few hours turns into a few days, and it's just, if you don't have any reference, you know, you don't have the sunlight or you don't have, you know, any sort of idea, your mind can so quickly turn on you and scary.
No, absolutely, And it doesn't take a Wendigo to, but he can help it. He can help that process
along.
He
can help it, and he can take advantage of it. Yeah, I think that's
that's right.
That's what we were trying to get after in the retreat was already having a dire situation and having spirit and creature kind of exploiting those fears, pre-existing fears, and that situation that they ended up in.
Oh yeah. Well, there was I read somewhere. No, I'm not a cryptid expert, other than, you know, nothing's on TV that I haven't seen on Netflix, and so I go into YouTube and start watching, weird videos that people put up.
You know, University of YouTube, whatever. That's right. You can find anything.
So I don't know exactly. I'm not saying this is an actual fact, ladies and gentlemen. I heard it. Probably on a YouTube channel real late at night when my mind was probably turning on me. But I read somewhere or heard somewhere that back in the day there was a thing called Wendigo psychosis or something. Like it was a mental.
Yep.
And people, you know, it. This was a serious thing, a real thing from what I understand. Well, again, I'm not an expert on cryptid psychological issues, but
I think there's different stories on the Wendigo psychosis thing, because I've read up on, and we do mention it briefly in the movie while they're hiking, that they have a little chat about it, but yeah, that Wendigo psychosis was this diagnosed thing and people just ended up with this sort of psychotic urge, or at least they felt like they were craving human flesh.
Right.
And they would descend into madness from this craving. And then I've read differing things, which is fascinating. That's the coolest thing. It's not cool, obviously, but, you know, horror-wise and that kind of story is really cool. But I've also read that was bit of a rumor, or it was something mentioned in passing, but never an official term that went with anything. I don't know exactly what it was, but it made its way into the movie just because it felt like it belonged there.
Right.
I mean, if that was something, that's something that's crazy. That's absolutely nuts. If you know, that's a real thing that can really put a seed in your mind and start to grow about that you think you're a cannibal.
Oh, man. Well, the whole concept of cannibalism in general, I think, is such a crazy term or a crazy idea, and it just really hits people. People are like, oh, man, you know. And I'll tell you, you know, of course, the serial killer Jeffrey Dahmer comes to mind. Of course, everything he did was horrible. Everything any serial killer does is horrible, terrible. But he jumps to the top of the list when you start throwing that cannibalist stuff on there. You know, you're like, oh man, it's bad, but it's Jeffrey Dahmer bad now, you know?
I just already so heinous that it just goes along with a bunch of stuff. I think it's a little more interesting in a movie like Alive or something like that, where,
the plane crash and the soccer team and they end up eating each other. I'm like, that for me is scarier than a movie about a serial killer, because you know, you when you can relate to the character, hopefully, like in the retreat. Yeah, it's your friend, or you just are forced in these circumstances and you have to decide, what are you going to do, you know? And I think I think there's a lot of Wendigo legend about how it's not so much eating, but it's the decision to eat someone that is what is the ultimate bridge between, you know, being human and starting the transformation into a cannibal. And I think that's kind of something that we wanted to get into, that because there's so many drugs and so many mind games going on, that it's his decision to do whatever he does that that ultimately drives the story, and less of necessarily what actually happens. I mean, it's not even a spoiler. What actually happens is kind of up to the audience a little bit. I mean, I know what I was, what I think actually happened, but I fully understand that there's going to be different different interpretations of it, which is awesome. That's great. But that being said, I think hopefully we were good at driving home the point that it's the decision and not the outcome that ultimately is the springboard for the transformation.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, with anything, you know, with any type of art, whether it be film or whatever, really, you know, people are going to look at it. They're going to bring their own background and whatnot to it, to that perspective. And, you know, it's going to be a little different for everybody. I liked where the film went, though. I know exactly, but I don't want to say anything because I want people to watch it. I thought that was really cool because you're like, ooh, and, you know.
Yeah, and I just love that, because just from talking to a few people since the film's come out and stuff, there are different interpretations of the film, you know, and especially the second half and the final third, because of the certain twists and certain revelations that come through, people question certain events in the movie, and I love that I have the concrete idea of what was real, what wasn't, and everything like that, but It ultimately it's up to the viewer at this point. You know, the movie's out now. It doesn't belong to me anymore. It belongs to everyone else. And whatever they interpret it, that's the right answer, you know?
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects with household cleaning spray. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Support for this podcast comes from the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center, ranked one of the top cancer centers in the nation for the last 27 years. The doctors at MD Anderson treat more rare cancers in a single day than many physicians see in a lifetime, and treatment plans are tailored to an individual patient's needs, allowing more comprehensive and thorough care. To become a patient, please visit makingcancerhistory.com.
Aloha. If you have stress in your life or even anxiety and panic, I want to invite you to the Anxiety Coaches Podcast for a way out. The Anxiety Coaches Podcast is a relaxing and inspiring show bringing you lifestyle changes to calm your nervous system and help you heal. Heal anxiety, panic, and PTSD for life. We bring you 2 episodes every week. There's no need to walk this path alone. Join us for a relaxing, informative, and inspiring time and start your journey out of anxiety panic. That's anxietycoachespodcast.com. Aloha.
Hey there, my name is Paige Beattie, and I am the founder of Hats On and Hats Off, which are two separate companies but aligned by the same philosophy of raising cancer awareness and forming smiles. Hats On is a for-profit corporation that sells cancer-specific hats to be proudly worn by you in hopes of raising awareness. A percentage of the proceeds will be donated to Hats Off, which is a nonprofit corporation raising money to buy wigs for cancer patients who can't afford them. That's where we're forming smiles. I believe cancer has touched almost everyone's lives in one way or another, a friend, a family member, a friend of a friend. So please visit our website, www.hatsonhatsoff.com, to learn how you can help raise awareness and form smiles.
Ruxgear, the online web shop of high-end luxury merchandise and products, all featuring original pop art paintings. From La Holla to Miami to London, www.merch.jamierox.us.
And a little ambiguity in art is never a bad thing. You know what I mean? I dig that. And I'll tell you, I have watched movies, I'm an old man, so I've watched a certain movie several times. You know, I've watched one, and then I didn't watch it for, 15 years, and I rewatched it, and I got something totally different because I'm at a different place as the viewer, as the audience, you know what I mean, that I missed.
I think that's great. And I think also what I, kind of like about certain movies is that, they're enjoyable, obviously, your first time through, but you get certain rewards on your second or maybe third time viewing them that you didn't really catch before, or that, you're reading events differently, and the recontextualizing them after having seen it brings to light new things and
oh, absolutely.
New feelings. And I think that's what makes any movie great. It's just that you can, like you said, bring your own baggage to it and come out with your own interpretations.
Absolutely. Now, I've had the opposite happen too, where I thought something was fantastic when I was a kid, and I found it on the Roku and rewatched it and went, really? This 1978 version of Battlestar Galactica is terrible. I can't handle it, man.
Yeah. Especially
when I was
a kid, plot hole stuff. Ooh. Yeah. You pull on some of those logic threads on your second watch, and things start to not add up, and stuff that you overlooked before feels more highlighted. Yeah, I mean, I think that movie fans, that comes with the territory. There's movies that are super fun and you take them for what they are, or movies that, hold up after 10 watches and you can still watch it again and either A, enjoy it, and B, get something new out of it.
Well, yeah, man. And this movie, The Retreat, this is going to be one of those movies that it's going to be the gift that keeps on giving, And I predict, especially since it dropped in November, this is going to be one of those movies when people get together, families and whatnot. Not that this is a family film. I'm talking, demented brothers and sisters and stuff.
We always made the joke.
Yeah.
Because of the ending and the time. It's a Christmas film where
guy
is learning the real meaning of Christmas the whole time. So.
That's right. Well, and you need
I think the marketing
films,
people could have used that, pushing this out as a Christmas movie for families,
I'm telling you. I'm telling you, if I watch Thanksgiving or Thanksgiving one more time, I'm going to lose it, man.
Oh, God.
We need more. No, but I'm just saying, it's going to become a cult classic. I can definitely see that in this, that people are going to watch this again and again, because it's just cool. It's cool, and it's a mental, it messes with your mind, I tell you, the other night, I was flipping through the TV, Jacob's Ladder was on. Now, I've seen Jacob's Ladder, probably 65, 75 times. But every time I'm flipping through the cable and it's on, I stop and watch it. Now, before everybody says, oh, Jamie's just the coolest guy, I also do that with Roadhouse, because I like when that polar bear falls in that guy. But there's just certain movies. But I think this is going to be one of those, where it's just a cool film.
Yeah, like a movie like Jacob's Ladder or something, like, you know, whatever psychological movie. I think part of it also that I hope people get is, you know, you watch it in a room with people or whoever you're watching it with, and there's discussion after, arguments, and, you know, and I'm sure, you know, you sit a room full of people in there and everyone's going to have different feelings about it at the end and kind of where it went, what happened, what was real, what wasn't. But I love that kind of discussion. I think that that's great.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, and it's just, this is definitely one of those films that, I'm telling you, the Wendigo crawls in your brain, man, and it just stays and you keep thinking about it. And suddenly I'm looking at my wife in a whole different way. No, she turns into a big hot dog, like in the comics or the cartoons.
No, it really, it's scary though. I mean, it's just like, especially when you're alone and I also think we wanted a little, a bit to prey on kind of a fear of psychedelics or, you know, what, again, so I've heard what a bad trip could be like and how, you know, I think we definitely played on that a little bit, or at least we're trying to bring out a bad shroom trip or a bad acid trip, like one that goes really south for one person. And, you know, kind of using that as a template for, you know, how, what kind of psychological journey our character Gus goes on. So yeah, for anyone that's listening, that's done psychedelics, I think, there might be something darker that they can take out of this.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, and the thing is anybody like our age or whatnot too, I'm assuming a lot here, anyone my age, I should say, and grew up in the Midwest or whatever, I think we all have heard that, you know, the Sid Barrett stories or, you know, somebody knew somebody that, you know, oh yeah, man, he took 25 hits of acid and, you know, his brain melted and he's still messed up today. He never came out of the trip. That's the bad part about psychedelics that have always, no, I don't know how true that is or whatnot. It never happened to me, but it was in the back of my mind, you know, that, oh, this could just go on and on and on, and you're stuck in there. That's not good. Nobody
definitely
wants,
people have especially checked themselves in the hospitals. Yeah.
Oh yeah, and you know, I don't know how much of that was my parents, you know, trying to scare me out of not doing it. You know, oh, by the way, anybody offers you, you know, it was one of those things. There was this guy doing college that thought he could fly and jump out the window. You know, I mean, I don't know. I think being stuck in your brains a little more, you know, that whole, what I never wanted to happen, Bruce, was remember the one video by Metallica? I never wanted to be a prisoner in my head.
There's a conversation in the movie that that Gus and Adam have where Gus even talks about how communication is key for, you know, when they're tripping and everything like that, or else you get stuck in your own head,
right?
In that kind of way. And then, you know, he doesn't listen to his own advice or however you want to interpret the film. But the I think, you know, just like any psychedelics or anything like that, yeah, you got to be careful with it no matter what. I mean, again, I'm not one to tell people not to do whether it's shrooms or whatever they're doing, but you know, you got to be careful who you're with, the scenario you're in, because yeah, you can have a bad trip and it can be fairly traumatizing if you're not careful. Definitely a risk you take with that kind of stuff, or you can get really great things out of it, and you can, you know, it can go both ways. And this is definitely the not so good way it can go, and amongst
exactly.
other things. And then you combine that with a Wendigo spirit out there, and it starts really taking a toll on the mind.
Yeah, well, you know, I've always told people, and again, the same way as you, Bruce, people are going to do what they're going to do, and you know, good luck is all I can say. but I've always told people that, you know how, like, you'll take a nap, you'll be listening to the radio or something, or you're listening to music, and you'll take a nap, or the TV will be on, and things you hear on the TV or the radio or whatever will leach into your dream while you're taking a nap.
Totally.
And that completely happens when you're doing mind-altering stuff, or can happen. I will just say absolutely can happen. So be cautious of your environment, you know, and what you bring into that party, you know. It's kind of like Luke Skywalker in Empire,
yeah.
You know. When you walk into that big tree.
Note.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, no, the Vader tree. No, I was saying I mean, there's – so our composer, Nate, we're talking about a couple friends of ours that had a very – experience we kind of used in this movie, and it was that kind of they went into the woods and they were tripping on shrooms, and a guy came and kind of joined their group in kind of a similar way in this movie.
Mm.
He was not a nice guy, not a good, and but the entire time they both did not speak and both thought they each liked this guy, so this guy ended up joining on their and eventually it just escalated, and they both started turning on each other a little bit just because this guy was just kind of in between of what was supposed to be this shroom trip. And we kind of thought that was a really funny thing that could happen. So as you saw in the movie, we used that a little bit where, where the newbie comes in and he's a character, and since there is that distance between the two main characters, it kind of just starts to grow even more just because of one person in there and then
situation.
You know, they are unable to
right.
communicate. Yeah.
Well, you know, and it's so true. And when that was happening, it reminded me of when I was a kid and I first got my car and I was mobile, you know, and I was a weird arts kid. And I think I just finished On the Road by reading On the Road by Kerouac. And so I had this very whole, grand illusions about cars and freedom and all this and that. And, you know, hey, if I see somebody hitchhiking, I'm going to pick them up. And I had never seen the movie Friday the 13th. And my older sister had rented it on VHS and we were watching it. And it just quashed any of that. I'm like, I will never pick up a hitch. Are you kidding me? No. Matter of fact, I'm going to buy an extra tire, keep it in the back seat just in case.
Yeah. Yeah.
Never getting stranded anywhere. Because you don't know people, especially strangers, you know, and if you're in a bad spot, ooh, or a suggestible spot. We don't want to say bad. Let's just say you're in a weird spot.
Yeah, it's not
spot.
Even
How
a case. Yeah, even if they're just a little questionable, I think when you're in a mentally fragile state like that, or, you know, there's a certain amount of tension already, just bringing in a new person like that, and that injection can, you know, it can go one of two ways. It might be able to, you know, put a more positive thing on the situation, or it can start that distance between the two of you can start growing. And I think we definitely, when we brought this guy, when this character of Ryan comes into the movie, and again, no spoilers, but he's in like the first scene, and then he's in it a little later. He definitely brings that a new kind of energy that's not really in anywhere else in the movie, which I really
right.
like.
Well, it's a fantastic film. It's a fantastic film. It's out. It's on video on demand and ladies and gentlemen, on DVD. And I always tell people, if you get a chance, get the DVD, man, because then, you know, you can, follow Bruce's social media and whatnot, find out what upcoming, when the world opens back up, I'm talking, you can find out what conventions he's at. Because these horror guys are always go to these conventions. there's usually girls dressed up like superheroes there. No, I'm kidding. No, but there are usually. But they, because that's where, you know, that's just part of it. But you can find Bruce and, you know, make him sign it, you know, after you buy him a drink in a hotel bar or something. And it'll be great.
Let's,
and then you got a signed copy of the
then,
DVD.
Yeah.
Yeah,
let's
exactly.
Hope we're back
it's
at
worth
that
thousands
point
thousands
soon.
Thousands.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I hope so.
No,
I hope so.
No. Let's hope we're at a point that we can even have a convention again. So that would be great.
No, absolutely. It's interesting. Like, oh, man, I'm telling you, my wife needs one. her and her sister have one of these cosplay businesses, you know, where they make costumes and stuff for people. They go to all this stuff. And I never go to this stuff because everybody always thinks I'm in a costume, and I'm not. It's very embarrassing. They're like, who are you dressed up like? I'm like, me. But my man, my wife, she needs, she's doing these outfits and makeup and doing TikToks. That's her big, we have turned our guest room into a TikTok studio. It's insane. I need her to go to a convention.
Need to get
the
that
guest room
her,
was supposed to be a library. Oh, yeah, man. I'm telling you.
Well, at least
yeah, that was my
room. Found a way to keep it going, though. So that's good for her.
Oh, yes. You know, her, that's, they have to, you know. They have. I'll tell you, it's, everybody was like, people ask me all the time. They're like, so with the quarantine, you know, was that crazy? I'm like, no, that's like a Tuesday for me. I work at home anyway, so, you know, it's no big deal. What was rough is my wife doesn't work from home and did for 2.5-3 months. Oh, man. Nothing
yeah.
was getting
yeah.
done at home.
Yeah, no, same. I work from home, and yeah, my girlfriend who I live with, she's a lawyer, so of course she's usually going to an office every day, but now everything's working
right.
from home. So yeah, there was definitely a bit of an adjustment period, but luckily we both have our own offices and kind of, you know, can have our own working space. But definitely I would say, yeah, right in the beginning, there was a bit of an adjustment period trying to, again, figure out the workflow and make sure, you know, we both feel like we're still getting stuff done. And not just,
oh,
you know,
absolutely.
Consistently want it,
well,
distracting each other.
And you got to look at it from her point of view, too. You know, she's sitting here, she's trying to get these briefs filed, you know, and save the day. And through the room walks Bruce wearing a Wendigo mask so he can get the feel of what the Wendigos feel like, you know. She's like, oh,
yeah.
Come
yeah.
on now.
And
I'm
if you've
kidding.
Ever heard
that probably did happen.
If you ever heard if you ever heard someone editing and you're not the editor, but they're not wearing headphones and you just hear the edit going down, it is a nightmare because you're hearing, you know, 3-second clips getting played 12, 13, 14
over.
Times over as you're trying to get the edit right. And, you know, when you're actually editing, you don't notice how obnoxious it is, but definitely I've gotten the text before while I'm doing it, she's on a call saying, can you turn that down or put headphones in? So, but, that's fair.
I'm telling you, I was doing a show the other day and, my wife had the day off from work and, she's in the other room that our living room's attached to my area here in the workshop, in the studio here. And, but there's a door, you know, we have a door. She had the TV up loud and somebody tweeted at me during the show. And they're like, is that Law and Order in the background? Cause they could hear that boom, boom, you know? And I'm like, darn it. Yes, it is.
Yep. Yep. You'd be surprised.
Be a noise canceling
mic. Hear them.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I paid a lot of money.
Yeah.
For
we have a,
oh man,
we have a dog and, he, the second you try to close the door to your office, that's when he just not doesn't lose it.
Loses
he'll start
it.
Scratching on that door and want to get in.
Right.
As soon as you open the door,
right.
he doesn't care anymore. He's not even in the room, but that means you can't do a call or a Skype call or anything without
right.
the dog trying to get
he
in. He either has to be already in the office, but even if you close the door, he wants to get out. So, yeah, he doesn't want any call to go smoothly right now, apparently, but. That's okay.
That's right. The fun police. The fun police.
And I'm trying to talk to him and explain our dog's the same way. I'm like, sweetie, I gotta take this call. You like dog food, don't you? Papa needs to make some money, baby. Be quiet.
Yeah, I know.
Oh,
I think our
yeah.
dog just hates closed doors. If any closed door, he just has to come over and make sure it's open so he can go in and out as he pleases. So,
that's right. Well, it's
but,
his house, you know.
It's his house. You know, he's got to keep an eye on everything. So.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, it's crazy. Well, Bruce, it's always a blast having you on, man. I can't wait. Now, I know you couldn't talk about the next film, but I can't wait to talk to you when you can and have you back on the show.
Absolutely.
It
absolutely.
It's going to be awesome. Very, very cool. Everybody, we have links up and everything.
Follow Bruce's social media and whatnot, and rent this today. I mean, it's on wherever you stream stuff. You can get this. It's The Retreat, and you're going to want to check it out. I'm telling you. I'm telling you. Bruce, keep doing what you're doing, man. And
thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Thank your lady for letting you, us steal you for a little bit here. Appreciate it. And and the dog, too. Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, I will talk to you soon. Thank you so much. And keep making these awesome movies, Bruce. These are fantastic.
Sounds good. Thank you so much. Yeah.
Okay. Talk to you soon, man. Well, folks, that's going to wrap it up for us today. And again, Bruce Wimple, director, writer, editor. I mean, he probably wears 15 different hats. He's the man who made this film, The Retreat. And you're going to want to check this out. This is filmed so well. And I can't remember if I mentioned the soundtrack. The soundtrack on this is fantastic. It's amazing. It's amazing. The Retreat. Definitely check that out. This episode, of course, will be converted to a podcast and pushed out on all the various social media platforms and all the podcasting platforms. Yeah, I know. It's the world we live in. It's a weird thing. They actually have podcasting platforms, like 250 of them, and we're on them all. I think there's even more because we keep getting added to them every day, new ones. I get emails that, hey, you're on this now. I'm like, okay, cool. But the big ones, of course, you can always find us on our Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, or not iTunes, what am I saying? That's Apple Podcasts. TuneIn, I meant to say, iHeartRadio, Spotify, all that stuff. We're all on it, man. And, of course, if you want to hear, but usually on these, let me just tell you, because I got an email the other day about this. They only list the last 300 episodes because, and I know people are like just chomping at the bit. They're like, ugh, I wanted to hear 306 episodes of Jamie talking to cool people. Well, don't worry about it. We got you covered. If you go to my website, jamierocks.us, and you click on there's a whole archive thing of, what episode is this? 1,050 or something? No, I think it's 1,045. There's a lot of them on there. You can hear them all if you got that kind of time. Whoa. Anyhow, very, very cool. Thanks, everybody. And, in all seriousness, thanks to all the listeners because, that's how all this is working. It's very, very cool. And, yes, I know I got a couple emails this week about it. I had said that there's going to be big changes on the website, and we're going to do some different stuff with adding stuff to the show. That's all happening. It's just there's a lot of, T's to cross and I's to dot, man, legal-wise. So we're getting all that handled and everything so we can start. We're going to be launching a couple of other things in relationship to the show. So cool stuff's happening. It's just a lot going on behind the scenes right now to make it happen. So be patient. I shouldn't have said November 1st because it's the 12th now, man. But definitely here very soon, within the week, I would think. Of course, that means it'll be December the 1st. No, I'm just hold tight, everybody. Anyway, we will see you tomorrow. We've got a fantastic show tomorrow. Hey, and speaking of my website, you can always go to my website, jamierocks.us, ROXX.us, jamierocks.us, and you click, or you can go to poprocksradio.com. They both get you to the same place, and you can see all of our upcoming guests. We're booked all the way through the end of the year. And we have them all on there, baby. Oh, man. So a lot happened. Okay, well, that's going to wrap it up for us today. And we will see you next time, everybody. I almost forgot. And I can't believe it because I said it every episode, it seems like, for the past decade. This year. If you're going out, wear your mask, of course. And be, if you're going to the grocery store or something, be nice. Don't be a Karen. Don't be a Chad. These people working, thing they need in their day is somebody complaining to them about their corporate store's policy. I hate to break it to you. If you're the little gal ringing up groceries at the grocery store, ain't on the board of directors of the chain. So, complaining to her ain't doing nothing. Go home, write an email if you feel that strong about it. And, they'll probably throw it away as they should.
and just be nice to people, everybody. You know, it's a crazy world. Let's make it a little less crazy. How about that, you know? Okay, we're out of here. See you next time, everybody. Bye.
This has been pop art painter Jamie Rocks's Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. It has been executive produced by Jamie Rocks, recorded at his studio in Deerfield Beach in South Florida. All rights reserved by Pop Rocks Limited for broadcast on Blog Talk Radio.
Tana Oli, Pop Rocks Radio.
Estás escuchando Jamie Rocks de Pop Rocks Radio. Manténganse al tanto.
Hej, det här är Hicks från Sverige och ni lyssnar till Pop Rocks Radio med Jamie Rocks.
Blog Talk Radio.